Continuing Radharasudha Nidhi, verse 32, about the intimate services of Radharani's mandris, which they so expertly render for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani. Sanketa kunjamanupalavamastaritam tat tat prasaram apita kalasam varitam tam shama chandram abhisarayatam dritashe shri radike mai videhi kripa kataksham. And we were left off yesterday with a question: why in line 3 is Saraswati Pad addressing Sri Krishna as Shama Chandra? First, I'll read the translation to verse 32. O Sri Radhike, I wish to arrange your meeting with the moon-like Sham, and I want to make a bed for you in the Trysting Bower, in the Abhisar Kunj. I want your mercy, and I want the mercy of Krishna. So I'm begging you to please cast your sidelong glance upon me. So this question I asked, why Krishna is called Shamachandra, because literally the word Shamachandra means blue moon. Sham means bluish, dark blue, and Chandra means moon. So generally we see the moon rising. We've all had the experience, the moon is the moon. Of course in Vrindavan the moon is transcendental, the sun is transcendental, and it's eternal, and it shines when Krishna wants it to shine, and it sets when Krishna wants it to set. The proof of that is on his birthday on Janmashtami. When Krishna was born on Janmashtami, it was midnight. In Ashtami, there's only a small moon, as you know, 8 days after the waxing moon. In this case, it was waning moon. It's very sliver, we say sliver, like on Shiva's chuda, his top knot. But on that particular night, at midnight on Janmashtami, the moon was full. But so Krishna, the moon in Vrindavan and the sun are all transcendental servants of Krishna, and they're existing in the spiritual world. But there's no debilitation by the time factor, and no limitation by space. It's an unlimited realm with no conditions and no cause. There's no cause for the spiritual world, and there's no limits to the spiritual world. There's no beginning and end to the spiritual world. Everything there is nitya. Eternal full moon, eternal half moon, eternal no moon. It's all existing in perfection, in its own position and place in Goloka Vrindavan. But our experience, as is borne out in the Bhagavatam, and the description of the Ras Lila, the Maharas dance, says that the orb of the moon, the Urdu Raj Purnamandale, Urdu means stars, and Raj means the king of the stars. When the king of the stars rose on Rasa Purnima, it was the Maharas dance and the moon was full. And it says the Purnamandala, the circular face of the moon, is compared to a mandala, like Ras Mandala. In English they say the orb of the moon. So it was quite full. Then it says that moon, when it was rising, it looked like it was reddish in color, which we've seen also. Maybe you've seen other places. I've seen here in Vrindavan. in that early time, just in full moon time, the moon is rising, probably at least here in India, around 7:30 in the evening. That was quite the harvest moon, orangey red. And it reminded Krishna of the of Radharani's kunkum, which she puts on her cheeks or on the crest of her breasts to create attraction and beauty, enhance her natural beauty. Some reddish cheeks, or in the verse in Sanskrit it said, the face of the moon, the face of the moon looked like the face of a beloved wife decorated by her husband with some kunkum after he's come back from a long journey of several weeks absence for business or travel. So when his wife greets him at the door, maybe she already has kunkum, or he puts on her face some type of ancient reciprocation between husbands and wives on the platform of pure love. And that's depicted in the Bhagavatam. So here our experience is the moon is yellow, it's orange, it's white, cream color, but blue? If you see a blue moon, then there's a phrase like that. They have in America, I haven't seen you in a blue moon or something like that. Once in a blue moon. They have a phrase in American English. When do you come? Oh, when do you go to the temple? You might ask some Indian man in Bombay. Oh, once in a blue moon. Means like hardly ever, because the moon is never blue. But in this case, the moon is blue. And Saraswati Pada is saying, Tom Shama Chandram Abhisari Tamdrita Ashe. Ashe, we discussed. I'm holding the firm hope and cherished ambition and desire day after day, year after year, life after life. At this point in this life, as much as I can recall, I've been cherishing the desire to serve Radha and Krishna Vrindavan since 40 years. And I've been cherishing the desire to serve Radharani, specifically as her Manjari, in relation to worshipping Radha and Krishna for 30 of those 40 years in this life. And it'll keep on going. So everyone sitting here with us is having the same idea to a larger or greater extent. Harishchadeva is Radha and Krishna. We want to be with them. We want to see them as our ancient historical singer, not ancient history now, but the famous Mr. Harrison. I really want to see you, Lord. I want to be with you. I want to feel you. Oh, my sweet Lord, Madhurya Purushottam. So most of you are pretty young and don't have a lot of gray hair. At least you're not showing it. Maybe dyed. People do that. But at any rate, there was an ancient folk singer who was somehow captivated by Krishna, and he sang a beautiful song, his version of Vallabhacharya's Madhurastakam, which was written 400 years beforehand. And the Madhurastakam said, Madharadi Pater Akilam Madharam. Akilam means everything, and everything about you is sweet. In other words, this was the forerunner of my sweet Lord, Madhurastakam. Gamanam Madharam, Venam Madharam. Your going is sweet, Gamanam, and Agaman. Your coming is sweet, your going is sweet, your Venu is sweet. So, oh, my sweet Lord, I really want to see you, I want to be with you, I want to feel you. So that's our, everyone wants to see the one that want to love. And everyone is hankering for that auspicious time and day and place and circumstance where Krishna reveals his sweet form. That is his, that will be a sporty. And how it will come, most likely it will come in the context of chanting the holy name of Krishna. because that's told in the Padma Puran that Krishna will show himself to the pure chanter of the holy name. It says, Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Navavet Gremindre Sevan Mukehi Jivada Swayam Eva Spuratyada. Swayam Eva, certainly, Eva, certainly. Swayam Eva Spuratyada. Spurti means I will show you. You will get a vision. We will see Krishna. Certainly. Swayam, we'll see Swayam. Directly we'll see Krishna with these eyes. He'll give us the divine eyes, the Divya Chakshush, to see His supreme divinity, His divine form of love and sweetness, Madhurya Rupam, Madhurya Premam, Madhurya Leelam, Madhurya Venam, and Veda Madhurya. So this is our goal. So in this verse, it's an avisar, and the Manjari has brought Radharani into the forest to meet Krishna. And she's praying afterwards, oh, that service was beautiful. I saw it in my meditation. You showed it to me. You allowed me to enter there and hold your hand and take you down the narrow gullies of the forest of Vrindavan. What a sweet hand you have, Radharani. How warm and how tender and how loving, how delicate and gentle and trusting and encouraging is the touch of your hand. And we're running along together, me and Radharani, the Manjari and Radharani. It's not an animation of some dolls and little girls and boys skipping down the footpath together through the valleys of Holland. Not Holland, but somewhere where there's valleys. I don't think it's all water over there. So this is his experience. And then, so now Radharani has come to the Trysting Bower, but where's Krishna? So the Manjari becomes frantic because the service is Avisar, which means love journey to meet the beloved. Avisaritam. Tvam Shama Chandra Avisaritam Drita Ashe. I'm holding the desire, the ambition to bring Radharani to Krishna, to bring Radharani to meet Krishna. That's the avisara, the love journey. Journey home, a journey sham, journey to sham, not journey to om. We want to go journey sham, not journey om. Om is a good start to, on your way to sham. Many start that way. I did, actually. Long ago, 50 years ago. Om. It's a good thing. Om is packed up inside Krishna's holy name also. Ha, aw. And then Ram. And everything is there because Krishna is the origin of all of that. So now Radha's arrived at the appointed meeting place, as it said in first line, Sanket Kunj, Anupalava Mastaritam. Manjari's made a beautiful flower bed with leaves and all nice things scattered around the Kunj, and the Nayaka is there, the Prema Shraya, the heroine, or now everyone's a hero. Men and women are both called heroes in the Bombay movie screens. But traditionally it was the hero and the heroine, the male and female chief players of the drama, Leela, movie. So the Prema Shraya is there, but the Prem Vishaya, the shelter and reservoir of unlimited pure love for Krishna, is there in the form of Radharani and her assisting Manjaris, or at least one Manjari, you. But where is Sham? Where is the superhero, the superstar? Where is the Prem Vishaya? I don't know. He's late. Very late. So now, and because of that, the service is not complete. It's like you cook a huge offering for the deities with all your talent and love and devotion. And you put it on a beautiful silver tray in some fancy rich temple. And then you go in, you go to the deity room, and you open the door and there's no deities. They ran away somewhere. Hey, wait a minute. It's time for your quote-unquote offering. It's 11:45 in the afternoon. You say, well, they play some game with you, which they do. When you read in the lives of the great devotees, sometimes the deities play games with their sevites, their premikas. They run off the altar. You ever heard of Gauridas Pandit? Gaurilila. He's a famous Subal Sakha, Gauridas Pandit. And he had his Gaurinitai deities, Nambi Kalanda and Navadip Mandal, and he was cooking, he's a Brahmin, he was cooking a beautiful offering for them. And he, he went in the side door to enter the deity room, and there at Gaurinitai were Chow, they were gone. I said, what is this? What kind of, I made this offering. I slaved and toiled in the hot stoves in the summer to make this beautiful preparation. So I grabbed one danda and he ran after them. What are you, God, you nonsense? Your meal's getting cold. Come eat your dal. It's getting cold and everything fresh tastes best. So he runs down, and they're busy by the Ganga, joining some Sankirtan party. Hari bol, hari bol, hari bol. Anitai gora hari bol. And then they, and who was in that Sankirtan party? Ridai Chaitanya was there, and so many great devotees. And then when Nitai Gora saw that Gauridas was coming down the path with a stick in his hand, they got very scared. Oh no, here comes the Pajari. And they looked at their watch or whatever, cell phone, somehow. They knew, oh my God, it's time for our lunch offering. We forgot. We became so much absorbed in this Harinam Sankirtan. But then they thought, what, we don't have much time to get back to the temple. And he looks really frantic and really angry. And he's got that big danda in his hand. Gaurinitai. So what did they do? They took advantage of the best possible hiding place. And the best possible hiding place is the Bhakta Guha, is the heart of the devotee. Krishna's hiding in the hearts of the devotees. So Gaurinitai jumped inside Ridai Chaitanya's heart and hid there. And then Gauridas, where did they go? Where are they? They were just here. Didn't you see them? And then Ridai Chaitanya, everyone said, saw who? So Gaurinitai, my Thakurji, who came, he left the temple, I saw him. We didn't see, we're just here in the Ganga, we're chanting the Tagore, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, dancing in euphoric bliss. We didn't see Gaurinitai, we're crying out his name, looking for him. No, he was here, where'd he go? So he ran back to the temple, and then when he got to the temple, they were standing there. So this is Leela. So then he was able to render his service. So now the mantri's service is to bring Radha and Krishna together. She's brought Radharani to meet Krishna at the appointed kunj, Sanket Kunj. He's not there. He's late. Where is he? Wait right here, Radharani. It's my responsibility. It's my service to bring you together, and it's not happening. It's not going on. So wait, I'll try to find him. So she's frantically searching the forest for Radha's lover, who is late for their tryst at the pre-appointed Sanket Kunj, it says here in the notes taken beforehand by the teacher. Suddenly, while running hither and thither through the difficult forest pathways, which I love to say, you must have heard at least four times in different classes, the names of you must be knowing by now, the names of the footpaths, which are called gullies, Prem Gully, Man Gully, Dan Gully, to name a few, Sham Gully, would you believe? The Manjari comes to one grove, and she sees the entire forest bower is illuminated with a beautiful, soothing, bluish, dark blue aura of enchantment. You can imagine, like we have these, in the old days in nightclubs, they have blue lights. Blue lights, and they look very attractive. So she sees this beautiful aura in the forest. Radiance. It's a blue moon. This is the answer. How is it That Shyam is called Shyam Chandra, the blue moon. Well, this is the answer to the question. How the moon becomes blue, or why Krishna is called Shyamachandra. Because his blue, the radiance of his beautiful bluish body is illuminating the entire midnight forest. The natural glow of the moon, a new moon has appeared. Because in the forest, in a very dense forest, even a full moon may be shining, but you can, it won't be coming through the vast coverage of leaves. We have this small little mini van here, chota van. And as the years go on, the trees are occupying all the available air space and sky space, and the little grass and flowering plants are suffering because there's no sunshine for them. Well, that's a kind of a... I realize you can have a choice. You can have a garden full of trees or a garden full of flowers. And because if you have trees and flowers, the flowers will lose. So we had, at one point, we had so many, we got baskets and baskets of mogras. It's 12 years I'm here. And there's jasmine flowers and gulab and juis, little tiny white flower juis, so fragrant. Now, nothing, but we have big, big trees and champak and neem and kadamba. We have tamal tree and kadamba tree. Back there is tamal and kadamba, and side by side, yugalbriksh, a neem tree for Gaur Leela, and four or five champak trees, because that's, there's four big champak trees in Vishakha's Kunj, so we have an extra one, five. And so trees are raining now. So I've seen that practically when the sun is shining, it doesn't hit the garden. And this is a minivan. Imagine Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. You must have had the experience of going into the... There's some forest in Germany. It's called the Blue Forest or Dark Forest or something like that. I forget. But you go inside a very densely foliated forest. It's dark. You ever seen? You must have seen. It's very, very dark. What to speak at night? So now it's a deep, deep forest. It's nighttime. It's narrow little pathways. Manjri's doesn't have any flashlights or torch. She's running along. Sham, sham, Kotai, where are you? Then, whoosh, looks like some movie of some flying saucer landing in the middle of a forest. People see from a distance some glow coming from this flying saucer, which is propelled by whatever, God knows what, kryptonite or something. Something extraordinary. So then she sees, oh, this is, what is this? The whole forest is filled with rays of nectar, Sham Ras. And the Manjri sees that it's Shyamachandra, and she starts running through that blue radiance, illuminating the forest paths. Then she meets Shyamachandra and she happily escorts him quickly down the path to unite with his eternal beloved Chandramukhi Radha. So Shyamachandra comes together with Chandramukhi. This is the meaning behind the beautiful name of Rasik Shekhar Sri Krishna, Shyamachandra. So that's in this third line, Tom Sham Chandram Visaritam Trita Ashe. So that's the seva that Saraswati Pad has seen in his meditation. He's been gifted that kripa, and that was some mercy that was granted to him by the mercy of Radharani and Yoga Maya and his benevolent Guru Varg. And then losing that oftentimes we see that pattern is that vision or that experience of Leela or Krishna's pastimes is withdrawn, given and withdrawn. Union and separation, seeing and not seeing, union and separation. This is the theme, not only in the spiritual world, there's meeting and separation between the gopas and Krishna, and the elderly gopis, Krishna and Yashoda and Rohini and Balaram. The mothers meet their boys and they're separated. or so many hours, and they're feeling so unhappy and so distraught. The gopis meet Krishna, then they're separated. So that's there, even in Nitya Lila. Because Krishna is moving here and there with all his different groups of lovers and devotees. So what to speak of here as sadhakas, sometimes we really feel the presence of Krishna in our lives. Especially when we first join Krishna consciousness, Krishna comes flying into our minds and flying into our lives in a very enthusiastic and positive and attractive way. Wow, Krishna consciousness, it's great, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. It's what I've always looked for, happiness, friendship, hope, meaning, philosophy, sweetness, excitement, pastimes, exchanges, love, adventure. All these things are packed up in the beginning experience of Krishna consciousness. That's called Radha Krishna Milan, Sakshat Milan, union. Oh, Krishna's right there. I know within a few weeks I'll be a pure devotee. I know, if I just keep going the way I'm going now, and in a few weeks I'll be dancing with Krishna in the Rasa dance. It's called Utsaha Mayi in Madhurya Kadambini. Utsaha Mayi. Utsaha Mayi. Filled with enthusiasm. Beginner's enthusiasm, they say. So that if that lasts forever, then you're very, very fortunate. But generally, there are certainly it goes in waves. Krishna is very close to me. Krishna is very far from me. Oh, Krishna, why are you gone away from me? What have I done wrong? What offenses? What nonsense? What insincerity? What have I done to be denied your love and your association, your very positive, tangible, let's say, intangible, tangible presence in my life? Are you still there, Krishna? Do you still care about me, Krishna? Are you still looking my way? I don't think so. I think it's all over. Like every other relationship, it comes to a bitter end. By time, by death, by change of hearts, by rivals and antagonistic parties. So all those things we're saying is happening up there also. Radharani's associating with Krishna, and then all of a sudden Krishna's with some antagonistic party, and not with Radharani, and she's crying and weeping. Oh, what did I do wrong? Was I insincere? Did I insult Krishna in some way? Why did he go to Chandravali? Is there something am I lacking something? Am I not that beautiful? Am I not that talented? Am I not that sweet and satisfying and pleasing? So Radharani herself has doubts about her relationship or her qualification to receive the mercy and sangha of Krishna. Of course, that's all lila, it's all the aspects. So don't think that what we're having, our relationship and our experience with Krishna is certainly not the same by any means or measure. But Krishna's having lila with us. And the broader sense of what this lila is called is not Astakalya lila, not Nitya lila, it's called Srishti lila. Srishti means the creation, this expanse of reality that we live in. And we've accepted Krishna in our lives. Somehow he's allowed us to accept him in our lives. He's entered our lives and said, here I am, love me, serve me, come to me, be with me. You'll be pleased if you do. You'll become, everywhere in the Gita, Krishna says, priyosime, priyosime, priyosime. The last line of the Sanskrit verse, many verses. You'll become dear, you'll become my priya. You'll become very dear to me. Priyosime, priyosime. And then he gives conditions before that. That's the last line of the four charapada. I believe it's in maybe 12th chapter of Gita. He said if you think like this and you act like this and you develop this type of outlook, this type of consciousness, then you'll become very dear to me. Then you'll be very dear to me. Then he says the next verse, and if you do this and you do that, So basically all these verses where Krishna is describing who becomes dear to him and how they become dear to him, it's all about becoming a pure devotee. It's all about becoming a pure lover of Krishna. Because all those characteristics and descriptions that he's personally giving are the characteristics and qualities that a pure devotee embodies and expresses and possesses by virtue of the blessings of Guru and Krishna and the advancement of his bhakti bhajan. These are the characteristics and symptoms of the advanced devotee. Tvam shama chandram avisaritam dritashe. Saraswati has this vision of this beautiful pastime, holding Radharani by the hand, taking her to the Sanket Kunj, being distressed and frantic in not finding Krishna there at the appointed place at the correct time. She goes out in a mad frenzy searching for him. Luckily, fortunately, she finds him alone, not in a kunja with some other gopi. In Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, it explains that one service that Vishnu Chakravarti is rendering in his Manjari Sroop, Siddha Sroop as we know it, Valari Manjari. He says, when will... How does it work? I forget the time period. Somehow, when, maybe in the morning when they wake up. It says, when you wake up with Krishna in the kunja, and then you leave for Barsana, then Krishna leaves the kunja, I will follow him. Yeah, that's it. It's in the morning. He's waking up. I will follow behind Krishna like a spy, not a spy, like, what do they call it? Yeah, like a spy or investigator, private investigator, tracking someone where they're going. Some husband doesn't trust his wife, so he hires a private detective. The private detective, you can do that, you know, they have those guys. And then they sit in their car and they watch. Well, she came out of the house. She's supposed to go to work, and he follows with his car and he takes pictures. She went into this apartment. And then he goes in and puts some bugging tape recorder microphone there. And then he records the conversation, and maybe even a camera, and it shows, husband, here, look, here's the facts. And he gets his, you know, a few lakhs of rupees for that investigative surveillance. So it goes on even here, and even like in that situation. So here it's the Manjari. She's I don't know if she's been hired as a detective by Radharani, but she decides she wants to do that. So she tags along behind Krishna secretly, you know, hiding in the shade and shadows of, in the forest. And Krishna goes to a rival Sakhi because Krishna told Chandravali, I'll meet you at 12:30 at night. And he told Radharani, I'll meet you at 12:30 at night. But there's only one Krishna. So they both went to the kunja. And they're waiting for Krishna. Krishna spent the whole night with Radharani. So now he said, oh, yeah. Well, better late than never. That's where this phrase came in, usage. In America, we have a phrase, better late than ever. Like you come, the guy that comes to the Mangalarti for the last conch shell, you know. They have a joke like that in Vrindavan Temple 20 years ago. They used to, when I got the prasad, when in the prasadam hall, the devotees used to sit and ask each other, are you a member of any particular club? I said, what do you mean? I said, well, there's different clubs here. There's different club memberships. You know what a club is? Like a Lions Club, or Rotary Club, or Men's Club, Ladies Club, Gym Club, or Sports Club, whatever. Group of people, like-minded interests, they make some club and have meetings and promote their cause. A club, it's called. And this is also a club. English is a funny language. But it's a group, a samaj, a club. Like Rotary clubs. So then they talk at the prasadam hall. Krishnadas, are you in any of the clubs? You know, there's many club members here in the temple. What do you mean? Well, there's the conch club. There's the lion's club. There's the diner's club. There's the garden club. You know, garden, like garden, bagicha. I said, what do you mean? He said, if you're... And then there's two conch clubs. There's the early one and the old one. So if you're in the conch club and the early one, that means you arrive in the beginning of Mangalartik every day. And if you're in the later conch club, you arrive at the last conch shell. But some devotees, they're not in either the conch, they're not in the conch clubs, but they're in the lion's club. Because after the last conch shell, that's lion, you know, there's like some group of businessmen around the world. They have Rotary Club and Lions Club. It's a group of businessmen in America. Even in India, they have lion, you know, lion, singer. So some devotees, they come to Mangalartik, they're in the Lions Club, which means they come for the Nisringadev prayers. Tavakara Kamalavare. But then some devotees, they don't make it from the Sringade prayers, but they have a good green thumb. You know, green thumb means you're good at growing vegetables and flowers. So they come for the garden club, and the garden club is Tulsi Puja. Namo, namo, Tulsi Krishna. And some devotees are really not very good, but they know that there's one club that if you're not in this one, then you can't be in any club. You don't exist. So many devotees say, I make it for the diner's club. Diner's club, that's at 9 o'clock in the morning. Sharira avidya jal, tatendriya tehekal. That's prasadam time. This is a joke. So Krishna has an appointment. So he has two appointments, and there's one Krishna. So Radharani, he says, oh, goodbye, Radharani, I miss you. I'll see you later. I miss you so much. I love you so much. And then Radharani goes to Barsana, and Krishna goes to Nandagram, and he goes down the path to Nandagram. And then the Mandri, knowing Krishna's mind and knowing that I think he's going to go see Chandravali, so I am going to tag behind Krishna. I'm going to follow him and spy on him and then report to Radharani about his infidelity and all his so-called, oh, Radharani, oh, Kishoriju, oh, Priyaji. I love you more than anyone. You're my everything. There's no one in this world as beautiful and dear to me as you, and there's no one else in my life but you, and all these things that maybe you've said yourself, or at least you've heard once in your life or twice, if you've been around. Hopefully not, but that's probably how. So Krishna, he started it all. I mean, everything begins there. He's God. Everything begins with God, no? So the Manjaris are hearing all these empty words. But Radharani's a little soft and innocent, so she believes it and falls for it. But the Manjari's a little critical because she has to protect Radharani's interest. She has to look after Radharani. So she doesn't trust this black man. She doesn't trust this black man, Krishna. Radharani trusts him, but the Mandris are a little suspicious. They think he's a little suspect. He looks a little shifty type. Those eyes going this way, that way. So then the Mandris follow Krishna. And lo and behold, where does he go? He goes straight to Gauri Tirtha, to Gauri Kund, and he enters the Kunja Chandravali, right at sunrise. And she's fuming with anger. She's been stood up the whole night. Then the Mandri's right behind, outside, in a quiet, private place, unseen by Padma or Shaibya or any of the rival Sakis of Radharani. And she's all eyes and all ears. She's looking through the holes in the kunja. That Krishna. Look at this. If I only had a camera, if I only had my cell phone right now, I'd take a picture. But she has her eyes and she has her heart. So she'll take very good pictures to report to Radharani. So now, just, Vishnu tells, just when Krishna starts to make up with Radharani, with Chandravali, I lost my way, it is Amavasya. Your name is Chandravali, so you can find your way through the dark. But I'm Sham, and it's dark, and I'm Sham, and I'm dark, and I couldn't see. And all these empty excuses. And so I forgot the way. And that just when he starts to make up and try to cool down Chandravali's fuming anger over being frustrated in her meeting, then the Mandri the bold Manjari. You have to be a bold preacher. You know, they go out there and boldly preach and distribute the books to anybody and everybody. Every village, town and village. So we did. But you also have to be a bold Manjari. So the Manjari, just when Krishna is about to, you know, unleash his whole Shakespearean repertoire of you know, cliches and I love you and I'm sorry and please forgive me. And then Manjari runs and says, "Hey, Sakhi, do you know where Krishna was last night? Do you know where he just came from? And you see his lips, why they're so blue? Don't. He's about to tell you that they're black and blue because he ran through the dark, the windy night, of windy morning of Braj, and they got black and blue. I'll tell you why they're black and blue. And do you know why he's got scratches on his chest? It's not from the sticker bushes lining the Prem Gully and Man Gully that he ran through on his way here." And then Krishna says, shut up, just be quiet. Just be quiet. And Manjari is going on like this. And Chandravali says, aha, just what I thought. Jao! Sham, jao, go from here. Get out from here. So the Manjaris render all these beautiful sevas. Unbelievably amazing sevas. So that this Saraswati Pad has seen this beautiful arrangement where he's collected Krishna, he's discovered Krishna, lost in the forest, brought him to Radharani. And now he's lost that darshan, he lost that vision, now ashe, dritta ashe. And dritta ashe means he's holding firmly onto this hope that I will attain this sporty again, I will attain this darshan and vision. Sanket kunja manupalava mastaritum, tat tat prasadam avita kalasam varitum. Tom Shama Chandram Avisari Tom Dritta Ashe. So he had this sporty, he had this vision of Leela and Seva and Manjari Sarup. And then it disappeared, it vanished. Then Dritta Ashe. The hope, Asha, Dritta. He's holding on, this cherished hope and ambition that I hope to see this again. And I hope to render this service. But we have hope. As sadhakas, we have asha. This is a symptom of bhav lakshana, ashabandha. And ashabandha is one of the nine symptoms of bhav. Of course, we're not on the level of bhav, but we also have hope. We have hope that we'll get the mercy of Krishna, and hope that we'll be blessed by our guru, and hope that we'll attain perfection. That's what drives us on, ashabandha. So, but we may have that asha, that hope, but that hope will only be fulfilled by the touch of grace, by the touch of mercy. We, from our side, we can endeavor, we can do seva, we can pray, we can cry, we can try, and we can hope. What more? Krishna is far away. Goloka Vrindavan is far, far away. But if Krishna wants to show himself, he can show himself to us right now, right here, wherever we are. And we can enter Goloka Vrindavan anywhere, wherever we happen to be, if Krishna wants to show that to us and give us that fortune. It all depends on mercy, so that's why He concludes the third line with Dritta Ashe. This is my hope. That I will. He actually is seeing. He's so advanced devotee that he's seen this Leela that we're describing so minutely. And he's experienced it directly in his Siddha Sarup, Manjari Sarup. And we also have Manjari Sarup, and we are hankering to attain or realize our Manjari Sarup as Radharani's Nitya Parikar, or eternal servant, and serving her beloved Krishna. But only by mercy. So then he realizes that I have this hope, but it will never come to pass. It will never be fulfilled without mercy. So then the last line of the verse, he cries out, mercy, mercy, mercy. Please give me mercy, especially to Radharani. Shri Radhike Mahimadehi Kripa Kataksham. The verb is videhi. Videhi means please, please give to me. I'm a beggar. We don't beg Krishna for money. There's four kinds in the Gita. Krishna explains four kinds of people approach him. One is need of money. Arto artarti jigyasur, gyanicha bartarshaba. He says four types of pious people. Chatur vidha bhajanti mam, jana sukritin arjuna. Arto artarti jignasu, gyana cha bartarshaba. He says, religious, pious people that even believe in God, which is very few people in Kali Yuga, but those handful of people that believe in God, they fall into four categories. Art means valuable, something of value, an objective, a value, a wealth, an attainment, a possession, an object of desire. Art. So we have unart. A bad object or something that's against our art. So we have anarthas, ignorance of Krishna and ignorance of sadhana, and various anarthas which are listed in the descriptions of bhakti sadhana. So those are undesirable objectives or undesirable possessions or objects. They want money. Some people approach God, they're destitute and poor and suffering. So they pray for money or they pray for knowledge, or they're just curious, or they're true seekers of the absolute truth. So all of them are approaching the Lord and begging for mercy. But we also are approaching the Lord and begging for mercy, but not mercy to get money or knowledge or freedom from suffering. Some devotees, some people may be rich and even intelligent and knowledgeable, but they're miserable. Their minds are crazy. Or they're suffering from no love in their life, or emotional disasters, or whatever emotional difficulties one feels, brokenheartedness, or dejection, or rejection from the social group, loneliness. These are all the features of modern psychology studies. The modern man, the modern woman. There's intense, massive loneliness everywhere. That's why everyone's reaching out through Facebooks and chit-chat and whatever they call all those things. Chit-chat or whatever it's called. Kit-Kat, I don't know, whatever it is. Kit-Kat, chit-chat. I don't know, hang out or hang in and whatever. I don't know. I see all these terms. I don't even know what it means. I see coming by on the screen, Google hangouts or I don't know what it is here. And chat lines, and I don't know, so many things. Yeah, maybe very good, I don't know. But the basic idea of it all is people are reaching out because they're lonely. They're unfulfilled. They're incomplete. They're unhappy. Because we have a term to describe God. Two terms to describe God and godly people. They also apply to godly people to some extent and to God. One is aptakam and atmaram. Atma, ram. Atma in Sanskrit means mind, body, physical body, mind, and chit, consciousness. And it means soul, the chit kana, the living principle, me, the jiva. Jivatma. So, Atmaram, Ram means Aram, means bliss, happiness, satisfaction. So, one who is an Atmaram Muni, Krishna is Atmaram, Atmaramata. He is the supreme Atmaram. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. He is completely blissful within himself, self generated bliss. So there's something called Atmaram Munis, or saintly people. Within themselves, they're Anandamayi. They're made of Anand. Sometimes they have names like that. Anand. Anandamayi. Anandamayi. They're by nature of the purity of their consciousness and the elevation of their spirituality and their transcendental character and transparent minds and peaceful hearts and their direct experience of Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan has made them very blissful and happy. Brahmananda and Atmananda, Brahmananda, Premananda. So that's one of the characteristics of Krishna, unlimitedly. And then the other characteristic is aptakam. Kam means desire, need, desire, want. Apta means I've got it all within me. I have no desires. I'm not pushed by loneliness. I have no desires to fulfill. I am not hankering for anything or anyone. I do not want anything or anyone. I am fulfilled. I am satisfied. I am Purna. Purnananda. I am Purna and Ananda. I am complete within myself. My mind is balanced. My mind is pure. My mind is transcendental. My senses, my Atma, my being. Atmananda, Atma Purnananda. I am completely self-satisfied and blissful. This is the yogi. This is the bhakti yogi. This is Krishna. This is the nature of Krishna's jyoti. This is the nature of Krishna's all-pervading aspect as Paramatma. And this is the nature of the personality of Godhead. Aptakam and Atmaram. But this, so there's no, with someone who's like that, he has no need for any chit-chat or anything. Facebook or email, he says, bliss. Self-generated full satisfaction and full bliss. But when we have desire, the whole material world is floating on an ocean of desire. The whole earth planet is like a little ball floating on the ocean. Someone goes on an ocean liner and they're playing ball playing some volleyball or something, and it goes over into the ocean and just floats on the ocean for some time because it's rubber and it's sealed and there's air inside. So the volleyball is just floating along the waves of the ocean. So the volleyball is the earth planet. That volleyball floating in the ocean. The volleyball is the earth planet and the ocean is the ocean of desire. So the whole earth planet is just floating on the ocean of desire. And we're all in it, drowning. We're all drowning in our desires. We're being drowned by our desires. I want this and that. I really need this. I need that. I need him and I need her. And she and he. And if I just get these few more things, then I've got it. I've got it. I just need a new car. And then I'll be in bliss. Or a new house, or a new wife, or a new husband. Or new money, or new body, or something new. But this devotee, Saraswati Pad, he has everything. So what is he praying for? Kripa Kataksha. Shri Radhi Ke Mayi Videhi Kripa Kataksha. O Shri Radhike, O Radharani, all I need, all I want is your merciful glance. Kataksha, Kripa Kataksha. So this is the last line. Drita means firmly holding. He won't let go. I will eternally cherish and desire only this asha, only one ambition, the ambition to attain Radharani's seva, Radhadasya. This is a very sweet, very in this particular, what has captivated his mind is a very sweet and intimate seva, which he's described in this verse, and tomorrow there'll be even more intimate and personal seva to Radharani. It's captivated his mind and heart, and he's hankering, I want your mercy so I can render this seva for your pleasure, not mine, yours. You, and you. That's the meaning of love. Love is for you, and for you, and for you. By me to you, from me to you, The only me is that it's from me, but not to me. I don't want love to me. I don't want seva to me. I want seva from me and love from me to you. You. Radha, Radha, Radha. Actually, Radha, Radha sounds better than you. Radha, Radha, Radha. Radha, Radha, Radha. Hamara dana Radha. My only wealth is Radha. So this very sweet and confidential seva, which has captured my mind and heart, Saraswati is praying as a mandri. Oh, Radharani, I beg you 1,000 times, 1,000 times, 1,000. Please, oh, please give me your sidelong glance of mercy. Shri Radhike Mahi Videhi Kripa Kataksham. I have a few minutes left and we have more to say. But in the notes we are describing this whole principle of mercy because it's intrinsic to our very lives. Our lives depend on mercy. Our physical lives depend on air, water, and food. Air, water, and food. Of course, rest and exercise and all these things. But our spiritual health and our spiritual life, our spiritual growth and spiritual progress depends on kripa, mercy and mercy alone. Oftentimes I've met great devotees in this India. My fortune has been like that. They've even come here out of nowhere to buy a book in Hindi or generally buy one of my books in Hindi that they heard about, which is quite amazing to me. Our friend would bring another friend. A friend I would know would get initiated in Swami Haridas Sampradaya. Swami Haridas, then he would bring his guru, who is one of the famous siddhas of Vrindavan, on a rare trip out of his ashram in Tadiyastan, going to Barsana. And somehow my friend felt inspired to introduce his Siddha Guru to ourselves. So these great personalities have walked in here and visited us and blessed us with their holy darshan and the dust of their feet and their sacred words and blessings. So whenever I would ask from them, what should we pray for? And they would practically, unanimously, they would all say, just pray for mercy. Just pray for mercy. Please give mercy. I remember once we went years ago, it must be 20 years by now. We were in visiting Man Kutir in Barsana on top of the mountain. There's a great Siddha saint there. He is thought of to be that way. His name is, there's a couple names, but he's generally known as Ramesh Baba. That's his birth name, Ramesh, but I think he has another name also, I forget. Oh, Priyasharan Baba, or I'm not sure. I can't remember. But Ramesh Baba is the most popular name. He's been doing bhajan there for 50 years or 55 years or so. And he knows English. Doesn't like to speak so much, but he knows. So once I asked him, I said, please, Baba, please give me your mercy. Following my instruction. So then he said, why are you asking me for mercy? Who am I? I have no mercy. I said, well, I don't know who else to ask. It seems to me that you can give me some mercy. I think you're a very advanced devotee. How you say I'm advanced devotee. Some people may say I'm advanced devotee. But where is my bhav? Where is my prema? You see me crying for Krishna? You see me just lying on the floor crying, Radhe, Radhe. Where do you see symptoms of prema? I am not... I'm not advanced devotee. How I can give you mercy? I said, well, anyway, I can't understand what you're saying. It's beyond my perception. I only know that you're very great and I'm very small and worthless. And I'm really helpless and hopeless. So I'm begging you, please bless me with a drop of your mercy. So then he just smiled. So this is the point. So he's praying for a little bit of mercy. So in the Krishna, in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, after Govinda, the little boy Govinda, eating lunch with his coward boys on the banks of the Yamuna, he bewildered the mighty creator, Pitamaha Brahmaji. And in that exchange, when Brahma tried to test Krishna, Pariksha, is this little boy actually God? Is he actually the Parameshvara? Is he actually Bhagavan? No, can't be. He must be just, he's just a boy. He's eating fruits and yogurt and playing with his friends, and they're eating each other's food and trading food and acting just like uncivilized coward men. So I'll test him to see who he really is. And what happened? Brahma felt completely humbled, embarrassed, foolish, and bewildered. Brahma Vimohan Leela, chapter 13 of the 10th canto, which was the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated verse by verse in Vrindavan, in his home. There's Bhajan Kutir behind the Krishna Balaram Mandir. He didn't finish it. Maybe he finished, I'm not sure if he finished the chapter, but very nice commentaries there, Prabhupada's last commentaries. And it's interesting to note that the Madhva Sampradaya, they don't accept this chapter. They also have Bhagavatams, which they study Bhagavatam, Madhva, Vaishnava Sampradaya, Madhvas. They say this has been added by the Gaudiyas. We don't accept. There's no such thing as this chapter 13. This chapter 13 would be some other chapter. And this chapter doesn't exist. Because Brahma is the head of our Sampradaya. He's the Adi Guru, I mean, after Krishna. Krishna spoke to Brahma. The Adi Guru, of course, Jagat Guru, Adi Guru is Krishna. First Guru, and he spoke to Brahma. Then Brahma spoke to Narada, his son, Manasaputra. And then Narada spoke to Vyasa, and goes on like this. So they don't even accept it. But we do, and we study it, and we cherish the teachings therein. So afterwards, in chapter 14, he realized that Krishna was actually God, so then he offered so many prayers called Brahma Stuti. He got down from his swan carrier, his Hans Vahan, and he kneeled humbly at the lotus feet of Govinda Gopal, and he prayed for a drop of mercy. Kripa karo, kripa karo. This is a very common phrase in Hindi. Kripa karo. Pretty simple. Usually they look at Thakurji and they call the name Prabhu means God. Garanga Maha Prabhu. There's teen Prabhus in Gaudiya Sampradaya. And it's not three devotees in the Gainesville temple. It's Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and Garanga Maha Prabhu. So these are the teen Prabhu that are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And everyone else is Das, 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 Anudas. Prabhu Das, Das, Das. Krishna Das, Chaitanya Das. Kripa karo Prabhu, Kripa karo Prabhu. Oh Prabhu, oh my Master, oh Lord, oh Krishna, oh God, please be merciful to me. So at that time, Brahma recited a very beautiful verse which Srila Prabhupada liked so much that I don't quite have memorized, but I repeat it, it's very nice. Atapite deva, padam bhuja dvaya, prasada leshano grihita, janati, tatvam bhagavan mahimo, chanye ekopi chiram vichinvan. Atapite deva, padam bhuja dvaya, prasada leshanu grihita janati Tatam Bhagavan Mahimo Vachanya Eko Pichiram Pichinvat. It's very nice because this verse is talking, this last line is saying, give me a sidelong Kripa Kataksha. Aksha means eye, and Kata means corner of the eye. Not even a full-on glance, just a corner. I only want a particle of mercy, a particle of glance. So this verse, Brahma is telling the same thing. Lesha anugrahita. Anugraha means compassion, mercy. Lesha means a small amount. He's saying, oh, Haridev, if someone is blessed with just a trace of the mercy, lesha prasad, from your lotus feet, padambuja dvaya, then janati tattva bhagavan mahimno, janasya tattvam, the jana, the person can tattva, he can know the truth, jana tattva, bhagavan mahimno, the glories, the mahima, he can know the glories and greatness of Krishna, if he's blessed by a drop of Krishna's mercy, the truth and the greatness of Bhagavad, the truth of Krishna. There is no other way to know you. And he says there's no other way. Even if one thinks about Krishna for a long time, charam charat. So this is the statement, the Sanskrit shloka of the greatly learned, talented and powerful Lord Brahma. And he's speaking this to the little boy. So same thing, the simple, innocent maidservant Kinkari and the endeavoring sadhaka, we're all begging for mercy, Krishna's mercy and Radha's mercy. And there's another great personality besides Brahma in this universe, and that's the Siddhi Yogi, the great Siddhi Yogi, Mahesh Shankar Bhagavan, Lord Shiva. And he prayed to become a gopi. He says, I want to become a gopi, and he became the famous Gopishvar of Ras Leela. Even though he's so powerful and he's so renounced and so Atmaramata, he was attracted to Krishna's Leela, and he wanted to enter there and render seva and experience Krishna's Ras Leela. But you can't enter there in Purusha Rup, as Lord Shiva is a male form, Purusha. So he had to have Gopi Rup. So then he attained Gopi Rup. And then he wrote a beautiful prayer. And in his prayer, he's also praying for a sidelong glance of Radharani, just like Saraswati Pad in this verse is saying, Shri Radhike Mai Videhi Kripa Kataksham. So this is, of course, probably you know what I'm alluding to or leading to. But this is a very famous prayer that Shiva wrote to Srimati Radhika. And this prayer is ever vibrating in the hearts of every Brijvasi, young and old, especially so here at Radhakund. And that prayer is called Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj. Stava means prayer and Raj means the king of. So it's the king or the Raja of all stavas or prayers. And it's here the greatest of all Siddhi Yogis, Lord Shiva, is praying for a glance, a sidelong glance, this big Mahayogi, Lord Shiva, sitting on the top of Mount Kailash, meditating in the freezing cold, snow, rain, wind, everything, unfazed, undisturbed, non-agitated. He's praying for the sidelong glance of a 14-year-old village girl, a 14-year-old cowherd girl that milks cows and runs behind the cows and dances under the trees on the banks of the Yamuna, a carefree, happy, innocent girl. With her boyfriend Shyam, I say, oh, please bless me. So he's praying to Kishori Mani, Vrishabhanu Nandini, Larali Ji, Sri Radha. And he's praying in the bhav of a sadhaka, or in the bhav of Gopishwar, a gopi. And that prayer, I'll read one verse from that prayer. We printed that prayer, a little advertisement here, that's good, see. This is the translation in English and the prayer, Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj. Munindra Vrindavandate Chiloka Shoka Harani Prasanna Vakra Pankajani Kunja Bhuvilasani Prajendra Bhanu Nandini Prajendra Sunu Sangate Kada Krishyasyamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. Because this verse 32, which we're completing right now, talks about Sanket Kunja Manupalavam Astaritam Sri Radhike Mai Videhi Kripa Kataksham. So this verse is very apropos because it's talking about that Radharani is Nikunja Bhu Vilasini. She's the Nikunja's Bhu Vilasini. Munindra Vrinda Vandante. All the Indra, Muni Indras, all the greatest of Munis, the king and greatest of all Munis. Indra means chief. Muni Indra. Vrinda means group of, like Vrindavan means group of vans. Munindra Vrinda Vandate. Vandanam. Vande Guru Sri Charnanavidam. The greatest Munis, all the groups, large groups of the greatest Rishis and Munis, they're praying to Radharani. And who is Radharani? Tri Loka Shoka Harani. Shok means lamentation. We're lamenting. We're so full of lamentation. And we're living in a very lamentable age. It's a very lamentable and degraded and deplorable age. So Sri Radharani is Tri Loka Shoka Harani. Lord Shiva is telling, and he's Bor Bhuvaswa, in this earthly planet, and the heavenly planets, and the higher planets, Janalok, Maharlok, Tapalok, Brahmalok, all the planetary systems, Radharani, Harani, she takes away all the lamentation and unhappiness. And what does she look? That's what she does. That's who she is. She's worshipped and adored by the greatest rishis and sages like Siddhamuni, the Siddhi Yogi, Maheshwara, Shiva, Shankar Bhagavan Ki Jai. But she's very beautiful. And it says, Prasanna Vakra Pankaje. Her Vakra means her face, and Pankaje means that her face is blossoming and attractive and beautiful and colorful like a lotus flower. And then Vakra Pankaje. Panka means lotus flower. But then Prasanna means she's very happy. She has a very blissful countenance, a very peaceful, happy, self-satisfied, beautiful, loving face. Some people have faces like that. 1 in 50 zillion. 1 in 50 zillion people, which means you have to go to a lot of planets to find one. And most people here, unless they're falsely inspired. Hi. Most people walk around like, I'm suffering. And we are, it's a fact. We're all suffering. So we all walk around. And we see a friend, hi. You know, we freeze that false happy smile just long enough to take a selfie. I'm having a great time. See my big, fat, fake, phony smile? See my big, fat, fake, phony smile? I'm having a great time. Hi. Wish you were here in Radhakund. And who is she? Brajendra Banu Nandini. She's a beautiful daughter of the king of Braj, of Barsana, Brajendra Banu. And who does she associate with? She's a king's daughter. She's the king of Barsana's daughter, Brajendra. There's two Brajendras in one sentence. How is that? Brajendra Banu and Brajendra Sunu Sangate. So one Brajendra is Banu, Brishabanu Maharaj. He's the king of Barsana. Like you go to Rajasthan, there's the king of Jayapur, and you go 10 kilometers north, there's the king of Mewar. You go 10 kilometers north, and there's the king of... There's all different kingdoms. And that's how India was. Thousands of kingdoms. Like the Czech Republic. There was a king of the Czech Republic, and then this one and that one. And Yugo king and Slavia king, and then Yugo king becomes... And Slavo and Yugo become Yugoslavia, I don't know, whatever. All different kingdoms all merged together. Same in India, but they're small. And so this Brajendra Banu, she's the daughter and the Sunu. The Nandini and the Sunu. Sunu means the son of the king, and Nandini means the daughter of the king. And what do? They do Sangha. Nandini Suno Sangha. Nandini Suno Sangha. They're always associating. She's always associating with the son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Nanda Nanda Shamsundar Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And what do I want? I love them and I appreciate them. They're so beautiful. And I'm just begging, oh, I don't want much. I don't want money, name, fame, glories, anything. I don't want food. I don't want anything. I just want a glance of mercy. Kripa karo, kripa karo, Radha, Radha. Radhe, Radhe, bolo re, Radhe, Radhe, bolo re. Radha, Radha, bolo re, Radha, Radha, bolo re. Chant Radharani's name and beg for mercy. Radhe, Radhe, bolo re, Radha, Radha, kripa, kripa say. Please give me your mercy. So the translation, official translation, is this. Lord Shiva said, Munindra Vrindavandate, Radharani is adored by all the best of sages. Radha removes all the miseries of the three worlds. Radha's joyful face blooms like a lotus flower. In Braj's secret groves, Radha delights in pastimes of love. Nikunja bhu vilas. Nikunja bhu vilasani. Vilasani means, vilas means pastimes of love in the Nikunjas. She delights in pastime in the secret groves. And who is she? She is Bhanu Nandini, the charming daughter of King Vrishabhanu. And Radha, Bhanu Nandini Radha, always associates intimately with Sri Nanda Nandan. Oh Radha, oh when will you shower upon me your sidelong glance of mercy? So that's the verse. Sanketa kunja manopala vamastaritam tat tat prasadam apita kalasam varitam tam shama chandram avisaritam drita ashe shri radike mai videhi kripa kataksham. O Radharani, someday, somewhere, somehow, please bestow a sidelong glance of mercy upon me. And let me arrange for your meeting in a Sankait Kunj in Agobi beforehand. Make a beautiful bed of leaves and flowers for you to play on with your beloved Krishna. And then I will go back after making that bed in the Kunjas and forests of Vrindavan. I will run back to Varsana just in time at 11 o'clock at night to take you by the hand and bring you to the prearranged and pre-appointed Sankait Kunj. And I'll take you there on your abhisar, your love journey, your love trias to meet Krishna. That is all I'm praying for, that mercy. So I pray that someday this one beautiful service will be granted to me by your causeless mercy. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.